We encourage one another in the faith. We strengthen each other with the gifts that God has given to each of us, each one of us here. If we are a believer in Christ, if we've received Him as Savior and Lord, we have a spiritual gift that we are used to edify and strengthen the body, and then to go out into this world. We do that together. It's not just one person or a few people, the anointed ones. It's all of us together. And sometimes we've made the church just getting into this, you know, this cycle, if you would, where we just, okay, three songs, a sermon, and let's go home, you know. That's not the way the church is supposed to be. And even today, you know, there's several in our body that God has used and ministering and is using to minister around and about. So I'm going to have a lot of our time this morning and maybe sharing some of those stories. And Paul Marashenko, a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday, kind of shared what took place when he went to Paraguay and the ministry that's taking place there, especially among the Ukrainian church. And I was like shocked, you know. I thought, you don't think about the Ukrainian church being in Paraguay. It's moving powerfully, and the things that are being taken place there. So I asked him to come back here on a Sunday morning and just kind of share a little bit of that. And if he has another word he wants to, you know, something of the word he wants to attach to that. But I just asked him to come up for a few minutes and share. And then I've got another ministry that is taking place here at Liberty Life that I'd like to share a bit before I have another small, short word. So, Paul, come on up here. Share with us what God is doing. There you go.
All right. Hello, hello.
There you go.
Praise God. God is good. Hallelujah. Yeah. My neighbor brother, we sit together. He asked me this morning, "What is most you like from Paraguay? What you mostly, expressed about?" And I thought, what to say about this, you know? And I'm impressed by what happened when I've been there. I've been like 4 or 5 weeks there. And they're like in 50 kilometers around, like 9 Ukrainian churches. I've been preaching about in 6 of them. And one of Indian, like root people who live there. And this interpreter have been there on Saturday and been preaching there too. But what, you know, in this period of time, when I've been there, and the 6, even now, I called my fellows. They said that it's 6-8 weeks already, no rain. And they have soya. They have, like in Missouri, also land, and they depend from rain. And in those 6 weeks, soya got like 1.5 foot, but no seeds there, no harvest. And they've been praying about, you know, about Lord, send the rain, Lord, send the rain. But I've been in the churches, and I saw, like Pastor said, it's just a ministry. They come and minister to the Lord, and the woman sit on the left side, brother sit on the right side. Everything perfect and nice, and songs from old. That's okay. But interesting, the one guy, bishop son-in-law, he came from Argentina, and he preached. And he preached, "Hey guys, why are you so impressed by the no rain? And you pray about rain, but we need spiritual rain. What happened with us? Why we sit here just cold and warm in the spirit?" And same message got put in my heart. And same message, another guy came from Argentina. He'd been a friend of the Baptist church there in New Ukraine village. And he also preached, you know, been preaching the last sermon in a Pentecostal church, and he came to Baptist church, but they invite him, and we've been together preached there. I've been preaching first, and then I preaching about Maranatha, about Lord coming, yeah. You know, 22nd, the Revelation, talking about message from a last day church. So Jesus talking, "I'm coming. We get ready."
Yes.
You know, I've been preaching about this, and he's been shouting, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." And because in the first morning, we've been preaching in the Baptist church. He didn't understand me. He's screaming, "Hallelujah." And I scream about his preaching, hallelujah. I didn't understand who he preached. Now suddenly we're in the evening, and the pastor, he good interpreter. So he interpreted me, and he knew what I'm talking about. He was so happy. Then he started preaching, not like in the Baptist church in the morning. He started preaching like machine, you know, like Holy Spirit came upon him. And he'd been so hard. He said, oh, what Paul preached, I'm with this. And we need a revival, you know. He got, like, instead of, like, 1.5 hour church, we got, like, 2.5 hour church. Wow. But it's the last sermon, you know, but... You know, in these cold churches, it's something, you know. And what mostly I press about what God want a revival there too, like in our midst, because I didn't see much what's going on. And last Wednesday, I saw the animal in the field. They got harvested corn, an animal, and thirsty animal, and somebody put the water in their mouth. The open mouth. that's what I see there. I see the thirsty and hungry land. And I pray. God put in my heart desire, pray about revival. And I saw somewhere there some people. One man came to me. I can visit him. He said, what do you mean growing in Christ? What do you mean to be? Because they're so busy, in, you know, like harvesting and all, and building something. And another guy I met, he's like 65. He became a pastor in the church. And we met with him just in the morning in somebody business. And we start to pray, and we just filled with Holy Spirit, we prayed in the untucked, you know. We've been so happy to see somebody who hungry for the Lord. And that's what I see, you know. I'm impressed with some people hungry, even there's a thirsty and dry land, but some people hungry. And I believe God will pour His Spirit upon the flesh, and God will move there. And that's what I'm impressed about. And my heart with them, I pray for them, and I believe some people waiting, you come back, and we will have a prayer times together, and we'll go grow in the Christ, but be more dedicated. And also about children, you know, I've been there for children's sake first, but not much I involved, but we sacrificed like money for the one in Incarnation. Incarnation, they're like one child, how you call it? Orphanage. And we sacrificed like $500 one and then to another one. But I see what I tried to be there, but they said, oh, we have a Mennonites, he came from far, so we don't have room for you. And I not participated much in it personally, but we helped money, and we met with another guy who was supposed to come in New Year. He like 1,000 kilometers from area where I've been. And he show up in end of May, end of January, so before like 1 week and a half before I supposed to move from there. And God connected our hearts. And what He doing? He doing in a Chaco. Chaco is a wilderness far away, like I said, 1,000 kilometers. And God really knitted our hearts. And He asked me, I don't have. You got some kids there? Oh, that's a Daniel. Yeah, the last time I saw, he just encouraging me to come back. So that's the kids what he feeding. It's actually not orphanages. It's neighborhood, and they gathering kids from unbelievers, people, and they feed them, and they fellowship with them. They just play soccer with them, and they also sing in the songs, you know, worship, and they put the seeds of the gospel in their hearts. And he invited me. He said, yeah, now not enough time, but come because it's far away, you know. And I pray for them, and they expecting me. And I believe one day God will let me go again so we can be a blessing for them with Lana or I alone. I don't know. And I pray to be a blessing. And what impressed today, I meditate on the word, and God give me the... Word. I will read the word of God, okay? I'm a bad reader in the English, of course. But, you know, Ephesians 4 in the 7, 4, 7, 8, and 9, and 10. So, but into the every, I believe that's it. Yeah. But into the every one of us, given the grace according to the measure of the gift of the Christ. Whatever. Who read better than me? It's okay. I read it. You hear me? I'm all right. Okay. Whatever he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gift unto the man. And 10 maybe I read. And he what descended and is also same, also what ascended up far above in heavens, what he might fill all things. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. It's about Jesus. It's about him. What he got a victory above all demonic and all the earth, and the devil, Satan, everything. He got the power over him. He destroyed power enemy. He got the key from even from hell and heaven. The scripture said, he brought the gift of the Spirit to each who born again. It's so important, guys. He not save us just not go to the hell in the future. He save us to change all around us this earth, yeah. Fill himself this earth completely. That's his will. That's his purpose of to save us. And I read this and I think, why God put in my heart some of these desires? And I believe that the Holy Spirit, he won't do something, each of you guys, each of you, so something accomplish to do expand kingdom of God today in the midst of us. Hallelujah. And it's encouraged for each of us to see. And the Colossians 1:8, I will say myself, he said, Apostle Paul encouraged Colossians and said, I love you guys because you became lovers of spiritual. And I thought, what is that? Spiritual, that's mean. We spirit, soul, and body are being, yeah? But spiritual, it's actually unseenable. You not see that where God, because God is the four in the level of four. We are like a body, spirit, and soul. And then God around us, spirits of demonic spirits, and God's spirit around us. And if we just save, of course, God changing our soul. He changing our thoughts. We've been like in the body, like before and after, before salvation and after salvation. But our soul changing, and we fill ourselves with Word of God. So work of God, when the Word of God fill you up, you have mind of Christ. And you have a spiritual thing. You see what God wants to do. If we not turn ourselves from materialistic, because we try to, make happy family, kids, and wives, and husbands. But that's materialistic stuff. It will pass away. But if you not see this spiritual, what God has, what he save us, and he bring us to the spiritual realm, we will miss our life. We will miss our chance to live, you know. We will miss our chance to praise him and expand kingdom of God. So that's my point. So very important develop in us this hunger for spiritual. Hunger for invisible, guys. Because invisible, it's eternal. Visible, it's 80 years. It's like my mother-in-law now, 88, she added, 1 year I will be 90. And what is that? It's like 9 years or 9 days. And she been like 50 years ago, there was kids. Now she little by little moving herself and life pass away, you know. And it's visible stuff. But invisible, it's eternal. If we not develop invisible, if we not develop gifts of God, then we will miss life. We will not, because even there's more worse. If we just, fight with sinful life, with temptation, if we're just sinners, we'll lose all. You know, we even in the church, but we lose a chance to be in the heavenlies. Now we'll lose a chance to be in the heavens future. Because that's not if you're not changing yourself by the spiritual, by the word of God, by the truth, what is coming to your soul, there is no chance to be with Jesus' future. So we need to pay attention. That's why I not really like some of you. good memory, good guys know so much. I'm just simple guy, guys. But I believe God will use me. It will be glorified. Even in the paraphrase, I pray for revival. I'll be with kids someday. I will be again with those fellowships. And I will see, even now, by my pastor who blessed me, also Russian guy, Vladimir Maximo. He said that the guys from Ukraine, Russia, and the next one, как его зовут это? It's Belarus. From Belarus, guys, group of guys want to go to Paraguay. They singers, they preachers. He said, I will connect with you, with them. The next time we'll go together and they will be blessing. And I believe God making some plans to see revival in Paraguay. So pray for us and pray for my unity with my wife. She loves me. She with me little by little. And we will be together and we will glorify God by our small or big gifts. And I remember one moment when I've been with Baptist in the Paraguay, I said, do you need some prayer? We've been sitting and drinking chacha, or like they call tere, in the evening. I said, you need some prayer? And another guy came. I prayed for his knee. He said, yeah, I've been been sick last year about the coronavirus and now a complication with my knee. And all. I pray for him. I said, how are you doing the next day? He said, praise God. I feel better. So Baptists, they believe in the healing. They believe in the move of God. And little by little, God will raise. And we will not sit in the evening talk about cha-cha or something worldly. We will speak. We will share word of God. And truth of God will lift us up. And we will see result of revival. And I bless you guys, encourage you, develop your gifts, small or big, develop, and you'll see the glory of God around and the glory of God show up. Amen. That's my
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you, Paul, for sharing a good word. Yes, we pray for revival in Paraguay, but revival right here, revival around the world. Amen. Good word. Hope you was encouraged by that. And I know you're encouraged also by what God's doing right here. And Michael Johnson, he has a ministry with Cross Trainers International, and he's had some crazy stuff going on in the last couple of weeks, and he wanted to share, and there's some other people involved with him as well. So just come on up here, Michael, and share what's going on. Encourage us today.
Yes, amen. That was a good word, Paul. Very good word. So, Cross Trail Outfitters, I've mentioned it before, we were trying to start a chapter. We had a state banquet in Springfield last Saturday. And I had Denise, Dennis, and James come with me to be a part of this because they want to be a part of CTO. And so we started at 9 a.m., I didn't get home till 1:30 a.m. the next day. But praise God, it was amazing. This event had over 600 people, professional anglers, hunters, people who have been on TV, on shows, people from all across Missouri was there. And we got to be a part of that. And God lately, he has just been really moving. He is on such a rapid pace, not only for this ministry, just overall. He is really trying to reach his children, his people. He wants to save. He wants the ones that he sent his son for. He really is trying to get a hold of them. And I'm going to have them share a little bit, and then I'll share my experience. If you want to share yours first, I'll wait till after. And Dennis, come here. Oh, yeah, you're going to talk. But we went to Bass Pro Shops first.
Oh, boy.
We went to Bass Pro. I wanted to make sure because on the way to this event, Denise and Dennis has never been to Bass Pro or a Bass Pro. So lo and behold, we got a chance to take him to the granddaddy. The granddaddy of Bass Pro. And I wish I had the picture sent. I forgot to send him, but his face when that door opened. I mean, it was amazing. But I wanted him to share first because you know what, it's not about, you know, this ministry is to reach the young people for Christ through love of the outdoors, you know, so I wanted him to share a little bit.
Well, Bass Pro was, whoa. It was big. It should be have the record for the world's largest Bass Pro, but it's the Memphis Pyramid, which is not. So, it was big. It was actually pretty fun. We saw, like, stuff we never saw before, and Mom got nervous to touch the stuffed caught animals. Like grizzly bears and, like... But it was very fun. There was like fishing rods, just hunting stuff. We mostly went around the Hall of Fame stuff, like the Hunter Fishing Hall of Fame. We saw a trout, we saw a bass, we saw a giant catfish. So we were in this little museum, and there were so many big fish, and they were just like laying down, just swimming, giant sturgeon, big catfish, and Michael prayed to God, so all the big fish would come, and they will, of course, they did come, and Nathan said, all right, amen, and we just walked away, and they just went back to their regular places, like, oh.
Yeah, so what's neat is he was trying to take photos of all these things. He was like, Mom, your phone won't work, so I was like, here, take my phone, so he's pushing, and the big fish, he couldn't see. He was like, I can't see. I want them. And I was like, you know what? The Lord says he gave us dominion over all living creatures. I said, you know what? We're going to try this. Holy Spirit, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask for every one of these fish to come to the front. And I kid you not, it was like that. All of a sudden, this big fish. And Denise was like, oh, look, they're coming. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this worked. And if you ever seen Evan Almighty, that's kind of like what it was like, what is going on here? But it did. Those fish, the big catfish that he really wanted to see, came right through the front, directly in front of him, so he can take those photos. It was amazing. Here, continue to share. No. Okay. So, do you want to? Okay. So, it was some amazing things. And, you know, when we got to the banquet, Lynn Reeves, I'm going to say his name. He's not one that... He doesn't like saying, anyways, Lynn Reeves he worked for Bass Pro for 27 years and retired, and he's one that took over Lou's Fishing. Lou's Fishing is a very high quality, good brand, and he owned it, sold it, repurchased it, sold it again, big part of it. He's on the board of CTO, and he sees Dennis, and I was chatting with Lynn at his table, and Lynn sees Dennis, and he's like, how old is that young man? I said, he's 10. He's like, does he have a fishing rod? It's like, actually, no. We were just at Bass Pro going to purchase him one. He's like, you see that wall of fishing rods over there? I said, yeah. He goes, you make sure at the end of the night he goes and picks one. They were there for all the kids at this banquet. So these are $120 a piece combos, brand new. So he got to pick an orange one. Well, there was raffling going on. James can tell you about all the color tickets that he got donating for the cause. But Lynn ended up doing the high roller raffle, which came with a rod and reel combo. And he's like, I don't need the rod. He owned the company. He has a lot of those. A lady saw Dennis with me, and I was chatting with some of the guys. And the lady's like, come here. And Dennis is like, yeah, I've never been here before. She's like, well, I have a gift for you. She gave him that rod and reel combo. I'm like, oh my goodness. The whole time we were at Bass Pro, he wanted to get a fishing rod. He was blessed with some money. And I was like, you know what? I know where we can get one. So not only did God hear his heart, okay? Not only did someone bless him to purchase one, we went to the banquet only for him to get two, a very high quality brand rod and reel. And Lynn Reeves then bidded on some other rod and reels combos, which I have one over there, and he tapped on my shoulder and was like, here, this is for you and your chapter to give to kids. I'm like, what, man? I'm like, Lord, stop. You can't outgive God. But I'll share some more later, but I want these two to share what they had for either one, A or B. Left hand, right hand. I don't know.
Okay. All right, so the banquet was amazing. It was beautiful. Every time I get around these guys and they start sharing their stories, it's just really moving. And they reach out to all kids. All kids can do it, but they really have a heart for like single moms and stuff who, where the kids don't have opportunity or to receive the training and stuff like that and to really minister to them. They had one testimony of a young man. He was in his 20s and he got up there and he had been involved in CTO when he was really young. And it was what he wanted to do. He knew he wanted to be a guide and do that. And then just through things, I think it was like at school or something, he kind of got away from it. And he went and became a guide himself, and he was doing it for a living. He was going out, he was taking in, and that's how he was making his living. And then through other things that happened, he came back to CTO because he knew that's where his heart was. And it was just so emotional. And Kirk, the lead guy over Missouri, got up there with him. And the young man had shared that he received a word. I think it was Jeremiah 11. Yeah, 29:11. Do not be discouraged, do not be afraid. And Kirk got up there, and he had this plaque, and he was like, you know, he came to me and we talked and we made something happen. And he said, but his wife about a week ago had got this plaque and had the same scripture on it. And she was like, I don't know what this was for. We don't have any place for it. You know, let's give it to somebody. He was like, well, hold on to it. Hold on to it. So when the young man came to him and was sharing the scripture that brought him back to him, he was like, wait a minute, this is for you. And it was just like, wow. Cause it just showed like they are really a family. Like we are such a body to be praying into people's lives. And like when they come into you, you know, and the Lord puts them on the heart to just speak into their lives and stuff. It was just beautiful. The young men walk with such respect and such honor, and just you can tell and feel that they love the Lord. And I do want Dennis to share, like, he has a few things that he's looking forward to in CTO. But just there are so many people that are coming to minister to these kids. They showed a video after, and it was just testimony of testimony after these young kids and older kids of what CTO has done in their life. And they all spoke. It was all, they all had a testimony of, yes, we've been fishing. Yes, we've been hunting. They love it. And they all have their stories. But it was all that we sit around the campfire and we talk about God. I have someone in my life that I can talk to about God. I have someone in my life that I can go to. I have friends that I can trust. And it's just so beautiful to see that is what their base is. And even Kirk, when you're around him, I've been around him a few times and it's always the Lord. He's always talking about the Lord. He's always praising God for what's going on. And he's so grateful. And it's just, you can just tell it's in God's plan. I know Crystal had shared a text from that we had when Mandy and I and Crystal, we were praying here and we did the board. And it was in 2018. And one of the prayers on that board was that there would be a man come here to minister to our boys. And that was 2018. And then here's Michael. And he's stepping out into this ministry that is not just our boys. It's boys in our community. It's boy, like, it's just beautiful how it's happening. And I had been praying into it. And I had gotten, like, certain words to just speak into it and pray. And they were in Ephesians. And it's, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And he will share this. Our God has such plan and purposes to us that when we ask, he provides abundantly and above. Like we were looking for a fishing pole, and he gave him abundantly and above what we could even thought. And it just seems to be like we're seeing it happen. We're just seeing it happen in the ministry. And then another time, Michael and I were talking after some of the events he'll share, and the Lord gave me this. It's 1 John. I just lost it. It is 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And that's been, and honestly, Caitlin has just brought that to the forefront of my mind. I've known it, but she has just planted that seed in me that you pray things according to his will, and he hears you, and that's what he moves in. As long as you want this for his will, I want this that I can use to glorify his kingdom. We need this so we can glorify your kingdom. We want this so we can go to others and we can be filled, and we can fill them for your kingdom, for your purposes, not our own, for yours. And that's how we start bringing up the young ones through ministries like this to serve him and be filled and want to share and give to others. And the young men come back and they do like want to serve with other things, and they're going out and having their own thing, and it's just beautiful. The banquet was awesome. We tried elk meatballs for the first time. Very, very good. There was some halibut cones, which was in his mouth for about 3 seconds. And I saw it happening, and Kirk, we were all in a group, and Kirk was like, try it. And it was in there for like 2 seconds, and I just had my hand like this. I knew it was coming. And he was, yeah, it was. I had a napkin. But, I mean, it was a very awesome experience. Oh, yeah. Michael tells the story about him coming out of the bathroom easier. I mean, better.
So when we went to the banquet, he was in different clothes, and we had to change and look nicer. Dennis goes to the bathroom. He comes around that corner. Boop, 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 boop. Popping his collar and coming out. Denise looks at him. Your shirt's on backwards. Looks down, and she's like, are those my jeans? He came out with a backwards shirt wearing her jeans, and he was like, I forgot to look at the tag. I didn't know it was yours. But he did. He was beep bopping. Boop, 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 boop. He was excited. He had a great time. James, come share yours. That was funny.
After Michael had told me about this organization, it's always been something that's been near and dear to my heart is the outdoors. The Lord's always used the outdoors to get my attention and to teach me lessons. A lot of times in the garden, just out taking a walk, whatever the case may be. And I've always had a heart for kids. Kids have always been near and dear to my heart as well. And to combine both of those together into an organization of men that are professionals. They're not just amateurs. These guys know what they are doing. They're on television. So this is not just your average guys out here. And the men that have, you know, owned these businesses, and they're pouring their hearts out into these kids, giving a lot of tools that they will need in order to be able to go forth and, you know, be a part of these activities. And the men that have become a part of this organization is just top-notch. I mean, you couldn't ask for better. And I was just really glad to be able to go down there and be a part of it and see the heart of these men and to see that it's genuine, it's real, which is something that I've looked for a long time, some real men that will stand up. And it done my heart some good. A lot. I'm glad that I can be a part of this organization and help our youth. The youth are our future. If we don't invest into our youth, then we're failing as a church. This is definitely something that I want to invest my time, effort, and finances into in any way that I possibly can. And I think Dad will agree with me. We might be able to use a property and have a few outings out there as well. But, yeah, just very thankful to see the heart of the individuals that are pouring into this organization, and just glad to be a part of it. Thank God for it.
Amen. Thank you, James. So all this is one aspect of what God is doing. Another aspect. God is so good. You can't outgive God. You know, years ago, Aunt Linda reminded me of this the other day when we were chatting. You know, I sacrificed a good many years of my life to take care of my grandparents. I left school, left job, left where I was living to live where they were to take care of them. And a few years ago, I had a truck, and me and Katie were praying, and my uncle, sad to say, he lost everything. And I knew he needed a vehicle. And I was like, God, not my truck. You know, and I felt like he was like, you need to do it. And I'm like, oh, man. So there was another sacrifice. It was a cheerful, because to see him, you know, so I blessed my uncle with my truck that I loved. It had value because I loved it. I was doing ministry with it. I helped, I don't know how many people move and bought, let them borrow it, trailers, just doing things for God. And so it hurt me in a way. I was like, oh, you know, and I sacrificed again because of him. I'll do anything for the Lord, you know, and it all comes back. You know, his word says. And so I'm at work Monday, and I get into this room for training, and I'm at Lowe's. I work at Lowe's, and I just signed in on the computer, and I look over, and there's this gentleman who I've never seen before, and he has to be very high up in Lowe's, and he's on this laptop, and I'm just like, hey, how you doing? And I get a call from Denise, and she's like, you're not going to believe this. She said, Miss Nancy wants to bless this ministry with a truck. And I started crying, and this guy is like, you know, he looks at me, you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. God is good. And I'm just sitting there, God is good. And I'm on the phone. And so Miss Belmba, miss her, Miss Nancy had blessed Miss Melba with a vehicle. And after Miss Melba went on to be with the Lord, the family ended up giving that vehicle back to Miss Nancy. And Miss Nancy has a financial advisor. His name is Mike Kirby. Not only is this man a man of God and a believer, he went so much way beyond to make sure that whatever Miss Nancy wanted to do, no one would take advantage of her, of him, or the other side. He wanted to be a blessing all around, and he did. I ended up skipping a day, meeting him in person. He was taking photos of the vehicle, and he said, here's what I'm going to do. I know people. I know owners of dealerships. I'm going to let them battle it out. And lo and behold, ended up coming right down the street over here at Bryant Motors. And the bless, it's so funny because if you think of Melba, she did love the outdoors. You know, so there's a passing through. Miss Nancy blessed her best friend with a vehicle. It came back. And when you're in that alignment and will of blessing, it's supposed to be a flow. So it came back. What does she want to do? She wanted to bless again. And so I'm with this snow and everything. Denise is with me, and we're trying to help Mike and Miss Nancy get everything needed at this rapid pace. And and you know, I thought of when I blessed my uncle with a truck and the sacrifice that I took, and it's coming back. And so Friday, we had to get some signatures in Cross Timber, where Kirk, who's over CTO, was, and he said, yeah, meet me there, I'll sign whatever you need. So we drove out there, me, Denise, Dennis, my wife and kids. We made it a day trip, drove out there. Ended up going on a four-wheel drive, a side-by-side, six-seater side-by-side, looking at 450 acres that a person blessed this ministry with and deeded it to this ministry. Trails, deer stands already there. It's on Lucas Oil property, only to find out that day there was a big meeting with Lucas Oil that they want to be a part of it, and I think there was something of 10,000 acres. It's beyond, but we went four-wheeling. They never been for the first time. We got the signatures, come back, and it was a choice between two trucks. And Mike the very next morning texts me. I'm waking up to text messages, and Mike Kirby, Miss Nancy's fine. He's like, it's a done deal. And I'm like, what? He's like, it's a done deal. And, you know, just like Pastor was saying, the sacrifices back then, it's where the heart is. You know, what are you willing to sacrifice for the Lord of your heart? You know, when you truly give everything to Him, family, kid, your own kids, materials, finances, if you turn everything over to Him, watch what He does, because He said, I've come to give you life and have it more abundantly. Just remember this, life is not about you. It's about Him. And when you know that, and when you truly understand that, you'll see the blessings. And as a part of that, if you look right outside, there's a nice big 2015 Dodge Ram 1500 four-wheel drive quad cab with CTO magnets on it. That is... that is used for the ministry for our chapter here. And it was through Miss Melba, Miss Nancy, Mike, Denise helping Miss Nancy and everything involved. It took a total of 5 days when originally they said it could be, 45 days. Rapid pace. The Lord is really trying to make things happen for His kingdom. And so there it sits, and we're going to anoint and bless it today. So if you want to be a part of that, that'd be great, because everyone knew my need. I've been driving my $500 beater, and Gary was like, you taking that to Springfield? Will it last? I'm like, I don't know. But praise God, now I don't have to worry about that. Oh, yeah, and while we were getting signatures and trying to do everything, Denise was right. We were trying to help, you know, go to Melba's Children's because they have to sign a title, and back and forth. My windshield wipers on that just randomly stopped. My lock button wouldn't work. It's just, I'm like, gosh, Lord, what is going on? Yeah, the seatbelt. Denise was sitting there, you know, and fighting. And I'm like, who are you fighting over? But praise God. That is a blessing of if you are willing to be a vessel and sacrifice and pour into any ministry that the Lord feels led to. Miss Nancy felt led in her heart with everything she had. And that's part of that blessing right there. That's what God does. If you are willing to sacrifice your heart for Him, things will happen.
So. Amen. Wow. Just another way in which God is moving, and I'm very grateful to be a part of a body that, you know, we just see God doing so many different things. And so many things, the ministries that have been launched out or partnered with Liberty Life, whether it be the embassy, which was launched out of here, Waters of Grace, which we've been very much supportive of, and so much part here. Here's another one, changing lives, moving across multiple lives of people. God is good, is He not? Yes, He is. On Wednesday, we sang a song. This past Wednesday, we celebrated the life of Melba, who now worships with us today in the eternal realm. And one of the hymns we sang was Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance. It's a song of great meaning, it's a song of great depth. It speaks of assurance that we find in God's Word. And God's Word, it tells us He is our present help right now. We can have assurance of that. It's also our assurance for eternal life. There's assurance in death. In John 5:24, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come to judgment, but has passed from death into life. It speaks of the word speaks of assurance in life right now. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he promises faithful. And then we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, is there any whosoever's in here? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The writer of the hymn, Blessed Assurance, name was Fanny Crosby. And she knew the scriptures. She knew these scriptures, and she knew many more very well. And being blind from 6 weeks of age due to a medical error, it would not hinder her from memorizing large sections of the Bible and then taking those truths and using them in so many of her hymns to encourage others. For instance, we can take the story of this hymn of Blessed Assurance. One day, Miss Fanny Crosby was in the home of her friend, Mrs. Joseph Knapp. And Mrs. Joseph Knapp, she had one of the largest pipe organs ever to be in a home. And but at the particular time that Fanny went to her home, that all the nuts and bolts weren't in place, so that she couldn't use the organ. So she went to the piano, Miss Knapp did, and she started playing this melody that the Lord had given her. And after playing it through a couple times, she turned to Fanny and she said, do you have any, what do you think this tune is saying? So she just played the tune and she asked Fanny, what do you think this tune is saying? And just right off that, Fanny said, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory of divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of a spirit washed in his blood. And what's more incredible was when she was pondering through the second and third verses, they have to do with sight. Here's a blind woman, and she's getting this download of things that you have by sight. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all's at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Here's a blind woman coming up with these words, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. And oh, my friends, this goes back to what Paul was saying earlier. It's seeing in the Spirit. She was blind, physically blind, but she saw in the Spirit. And it's seeing in the Spirit that gets us through the darkness of life. It's seeing in the Spirit that gets us through the difficulties and the pains of life. It's seeing in the Spirit that gives us the ability to not just overcome, but to rise above. Rise above with victory over all of the struggles of life. And not long after this medical mishap, Annie Crosby, they took her to, at that time, one of the best doctors known for blindness, and Dr. Valentine Mott, and he examined her, but it was really too late. He couldn't do anything, and as she was walking, as they were taking the little girl out of the office, he was heard to remark, poor little blind girl. Poor little blind girl. But see, Fanny didn't see herself as a poor little blind girl at all. In fact, she was eight. That was just right. She then wrote down this verse. 8 years old now. Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. And so we have to ask ourselves today, can we be that? With whatever struggles, whatever battles you're in right now, can you say, regardless, contented I will be? And before we sing the hymn today, let's watch a short video which gives us some more insight into what God accomplished through this lady.
Fanny Crosby was born in 1820. She became an American poet and hymn writer who was so prolific over the course of her life that it's believed she wrote over 3,000 hymns. Her vision for writing was beautiful, and the clear picture of the gospel of Jesus was astounding. The way she looked at life was apparent in her writing, and the way she lived for Jesus will continue to impact people for generations. Fanny Crosby was blind from infancy. She was blinded by a failed remedy meant to cure an eye infection. One tragedy gave way to another. Shortly after her accident, Fanny's father became ill and died. Fanny's mother hired a maid, and her grandmother Eunice taught Fanny to pray and read Bible stories to her. The Crosby family's landlady, Miss Holly, also played an important role in young Fanny's life. Miss Holly helped Fanny memorize the Bible, and it's said that she learned 5 chapters per week and had entire books committed to memory. In 1834, Fanny continued her education at the New York Institute for the Blind, where she later served as a teacher for 23 years. On March 5, 1858, Fanny married a fellow teaching professor and famous New York organist named Alexander Van Alstyne. After she married, Fanny left the Institute and dedicated her life to serving the poorest and the most needy, and supported herself with the vocation of writing hymns. In 1859, Fanny gave birth to her only child, a daughter, Frances, who died in her sleep soon after birth. It is thought that her beloved hymn, Safe in the Arms of Jesus, was inspired by her daughter's death. She had an agreement with publishers Biglow and Main to write 3 hymns a week for use in their Sunday school publications. Her fee was $2, which often went to her work with the poor. Fanny would frequently surpass her quota by writing up to 6 or 7 hymns a day. Today, Fanny's hymns are still popular, including Blessed Assurance and To God Be the Glory. Although Fanny enjoyed success as a writer later in life, it was not always so. In 1874, Fanny was so broke she could not pay her rent and faced an imminent eviction notice. As was common, Fanny began to pray and committed her situation to Jesus. A few minutes later, an unknown man approached her and handed her a $10 bill, the exact amount of money she needed for her rent. Later that night, Fanny wrote, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, a hymn of dependence on God to provide for our needs. As both a songwriter and a woman of faith, Fanny Crosby is an example to us all of a life lived in dependence and faith in Jesus, despite adversity and disability. It's easy to consider her situation tragic and pity her, but this is not how Fanny saw it. Once a preacher asked her if she was upset that she had never been able to see. Her answer was simply, no. And when asked why, she replied, Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. After a 6-month illness, Fanny Crosby died on February 12, 1915. A large memorial stone marks her grave with the words of one of her most loved songs. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood.
What a fitting way to end our service today as we stand together and sing this hymn of blessed assurance, trusting that God is for us, not against us, that He is with us and not far from us. He's working on our behalf, as we've seen in Michael's testimony today, and He's working in Paul's life as well. And Paul gave us that charge today that we're to seek those things of the Spirit. Those are the most important. Those are eternal. Oh, thank You, Lord, the blessed assurance that You give us today. Mm-hmm.